We are going to continue the message that we started last week called Moving Forward about the changes that were introduced, some of them several months ago, but officially the anniversary weekend a couple weeks ago. And so that's what we're going to be doing this morning. Let's start with prayer. Father, we come before you through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you are within us. And you are here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in this place. We thank you, Lord. We thank you we are your children. We thank you, Lord, that we know your voice, that we hear your voice, and we know your voice. And so we open ourselves up. We choose to open our hearts, our ears, our eyes to hear from you, to see this morning what the Holy Spirit would have each one of us as a group and individually. That you would deal with us so that we would be changed more into the image of Jesus Christ, that we would be and fulfill everything you have called us to do individually and as this church. We thank you for it. We see it is done in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God that Jess is here this morning. Amen. Pretty good. Amen. Less than 2 weeks after hip surgery, and here she is. Definitely a testimony of God. We praise God for it. Hallelujah. A couple of years ago, Wayne and I went away to a seminar, and at that seminar, Prophet Bill Hammond was there. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Bill Hammond. He's been around for a very long time. He's an internationally known prophet. And so we were privileged to, not just to hear him minister, but we were privileged to be part of a small group who he went and prophesied over each one. And so, needless to say, he didn't know us at all, and, you know, we didn't, other than I've read some of his books. So this is part of the word he gave us 2 years ago. And as Wayne and I have been talking and, you know, and working on things, it just came back to me, you know, go back and reread that prophecy. And it's very interesting, because I just have this theory that for a lot of times when there's a prophecy spoken over you, a lot of times it doesn't begin fulfillment right away. It's like a two-year window before it starts. Now, I have no scripture or anything for that. That's just something that's me. But anyhow, looking at this 2 years after we received it, I think it's very interesting considering where Wayne and I are this year and where the church is this year. And so I just want to read part of that to you as we begin this morning. He says, "The Lord says, son and daughter, the Jordan is rolled out before you. The waters rolled back, prayer has been answered. It's not a time to fast and pray and wait. It's time to take action. Implement the vision. Put to force what I have been talking to you about. Implement it, set it into motion, for the Lord says the Jordan is rolled back. You can cross over into your promised land and take your possession. You can start seeing the fulfillment of your prayers, the fulfillment of your vision, and the fulfillment of the work. And the Lord says it's time to possess. It's time to move ahead. It's time to take action. And the Lord says, I'll be with you. Don't wait until everything seems in divine order. Don't wait till all the provision is there. Start now. Start now, says the Lord, and I'll provide as you go. I'll supply. It wasn't until the Levites, until the priests stuck their foot in the water that the Jordan rolled back. You've got to stick your foot in the water, and it's rolled back. You stuck your foot in the water, and it's rolled back. Now walk on across, walk on across. Move on into the things I've called you. Start implementing. Teach the people, train them, equip them. Start putting into force that which I have called you to be and do." Now, 2 years ago, to be quite honest, we really didn't have a clue what he was talking about. But now, looking at it, it's just, you know, it's just with everything we're going through with the church, you know, with a new vision, with starting over, and then, you know, personally, with us selling our house and moving and starting over. Would I recommend it? Would I believe that this was what we were going to be doing a couple of years ago? No. But we are excited about the church. We're excited about, you know, our personal transitions. We're looking forward to what's coming. I believe it's just good. And, you know, to us, to read this prophecy and just like, yes, God says yes, God says yes. So it's just encouraging. So we wanted to read that to start out this morning. So what we started out with last week was, who are we? Believers Church at Glenville is a Word and Spirit Church, and we talked about that last week. And if you want to know what that is, I encourage you, if you are a BFC member, if this is your church, I encourage you, I don't know if it's up on the web yet or not. Yes, no? I guess last week is not yet. So bug JR to get it up on the internet, if you can go to our site and listen to it there, or if you want to, you can go to the guys at the booth and get a CD and listen to it there. But I encourage you, if this is your church, you should hear that message last week. And why do we exist is growing disciples to build the kingdom. That's our reason for being here. And so we were talking last week about, you know, we're not totally starting over, but we're renovating. We're going back to the foundation, the God part of the foundation. We're tearing it down. Anything that we see now was not God. And we're reestablishing what we know was God and is God and building on what we know is God and, you know, moving forward. So.
There's something you can learn from what Diane was sharing about the prophecy. Because, you know, we're in a Word and Spirit church, so that you're going to receive prophecy. Enjoy. And must be something I said. And, you know, whether you get a personal prophecy, or remember when Dick Mills used to come, he said that when you heard something and you knew that was something you needed, you could say, I'll take that, because the Word of God's for everybody. But learn, because a lot of times it's that way where you're, first of all, you need to have a knowing that it was God that spoke. Because just because somebody said, thus saith the Lord, doesn't necessarily mean it was really the Lord or a Lord for you. But when you know it's God, but then you sit in that place that we did where you need to do something, but just not quite sure what it is. It's kind of like you put it on a shelf, but not too far away. It's like it's there and it's going to happen. And so you're ready to move as God gives the details, but you don't throw it away because you don't understand it all at this point. God is wise enough where he doesn't show us the whole path. He just, a lot of times, just shows the next step. And so we need to be willing to do that because God's going to speak to all of us. It's not just for apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It's not for just the so-called fivefold ministry. It's for every one of us to hear from him. It may not even come from another person. It might be just a word that you know you've heard from God in your own time before him, but when you know that it's God, you know, write it down. You have some reference to it and keep going back to it until you know what to do with it next. Now, last week, just to kind of quickly surmise what we talked about, a word church, I wrote a quick paragraph so I could remind myself of it, what we talked about. A church where the Bible is presented as God's word and taught with accuracy and anointing. You know, most churches that are churches at all would say we're a Bible-believing church, and it's no judgment on anybody else, but what our focus was, we need to find out what the Word says and teach that. People, and it's not just about the teaching in the church, it's about the people of the church, our Word people, reading their Bibles, studying the Scripture, meditating regularly into its application for their lives, and their lives are transformed because there's information, application, and transformation. What is a spirit church? Church where the Holy Spirit is given free reign. It's not just about baptism of the Holy Spirit, but about the Holy Spirit himself. Holy Spirit is a person. Yeah. Amen? The third person of the Trinity. Not in just the services, but in the daily lives of each member, being led by the Spirit is a focal point. The gifts and manifestations of the Spirit aren't merely tolerated, they're celebrated. The power of God is evident, plus there is an expectation of signs, wonders, and miracles. Praise and worship is directed to God himself without fear and without shame. Amen? We're not just trying to be emotional, but we're not gonna make excuses for being excited about God. We're a Word and Spirit church. All right, so now we need to talk about the growing disciples to build the kingdom. And, you know, the idea behind all this is to make sure that we're all on the same page, that we're thinking the same thing. The scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:10 said we need to be of the same mind and the same judgment, thinking the same thing, saying the same things. And in order to do that, we start with the teaching. So a disciple, as I identified, I've given this definition a long time ago, is a person who is following Christ, is being changed by Christ, and is committed to the mission of Christ. Following Christ, becoming like Christ, and committed to the mission of Christ. There is a difference between just being born again and choosing to be a disciple. Amen. It's a choice to step up in him, and we need to all make that choice to don't be satisfied with, I'm born again, and hopefully I'm going to get to heaven someday. Let's serve the Lord with our whole heart, amen, with all of us. Amen?
One of the things with the new vision and the new, you know, all the things that we're coming up with is Although we believe that we've always been based on Scripture, you know, I mean, this church was founded on the Word of God, but we wanted to use as much terminology that we could, you know, was flat Bible, you know, terminology. Believers Fellowship Center, believers is another word for disciples. That's one of the reasons why we kept the word believers. Fellowship, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible about it, but it wasn't, you know, what we were looking for. It's one of the reasons why we changed the name. But what we're basing the growing disciples on, why we're using that in the vision, is based on the Great Commission in Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. It says in verse 18 of Matthew 28, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And one of the things is, you know, we've talked about with one of the shifts is we discovered, you know, we didn't like it, but we discovered that how much we were an inward-focused congregation. But God says it's not just, you know, it's not just inward, but out. And that's what it says here in this scripture. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. You know, so as we start here, we have to get things started here. But as we make the progress and do what we're, you know, what we're called to do, is we're called to be, you know, as we become who God has called us to be, then we will start doing what God has called us to do. And I believe it's just going to be a ripple effect, and it's just going to start working out. If you remember the prophecy of Dick Mills, you know, he prophesied, was it 92? About how we would be going out, and we would, you know, it would start here, the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and othermost parts of the earth. We've done some of that, but I don't believe that prophecy has been totally fulfilled. But once again, it's reestablishing the foundation. We have to get things right here. We have to get things right among us. And then it will not be that we have to work on doing what we're called to do out there. It will just be an overflow, because as we change, as our hearts change, and we become who God has called us to be, who He has established us to be, then it's just going to be automatic. We will just be, you know, who we're supposed to be. We don't have to work at it, and I won't have to go, okay, I've got to get my tracts, and I've got to go find somebody to witness to, and I've got to, you know. No, it's just going to be, this is who I am. This is Jesus. Jesus is all over, you know, outflowing from spirit, soul, and body. This is just, I'm a little Jesus walking around, and it's just as I touch people, they're going to be affected just because of the anointing and the power that's in me, and is being manifested, you know, on the outside.
Yep.
So that's, you know, that's the little shift in direction, you know. It's not totally becoming somebody different, but just, you know, a little shift and reestablishing is what we're talking about.
It's not a switch that should turn on and off.
That's right.
You know, now I'm a witness.
Right.
Oh, back into the worldly mode. We ought to be thinking that all the time. I think sometimes when we just focused on events, then we turn on the switch when we're doing an event. But when we get away from the event, we go back to whatever. And when you're at work, you're a witness.
Right.
And I guess we'll get into that more as we go here. Look over at Luke chapter 6. I know I'm not the most exuberant kind of person, but I'm really excited. Believe it or not, I'm really excited about where we're going. And we're going to get up and do something for God. Praise God. When Jesus comes, He's going to find us faithful and going to find us about the work of the kingdom. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Talking about disciples, a disciple is not above his teacher. Thank God, Jesus is out front. If He's not the head, then we don't want to be involved in it.
Yeah.
If He's not going, we don't want to go, right? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. We said the disciple is following Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and that's an important part. Perfectly trained in the original language is passive in the sense that it's something that's happening to us. We are a big part in this, but it's the grace of God. It's a work of God. And it really, what we're learning is, we're not trying to become something that we haven't been.
That's right.
We're trying to learn who we really are. And the more that we get that straight in our heart, that what does it mean to be I'm a child of God? What does that mean? It's one thing to just say that. It's another thing to really know what that means and know it in my heart. So because that makes, when I know it in my heart, I act differently. But when we're thinking I still have to become something, then we're always working, we're striving, we're laboring, we're sweating, we're hoping someday we get there. you got born again, you were there as far as God's concerned positionally. And what we're working on, the laborious part is to get the heart thinking that, because our heart's been trained to think we can't, we won't, we aren't, and all those kind of things. Thank God for his work in us. Amen? The word perfectly trained could be defined as suitable, normal, or proper. That's what we are. That's what we're learning to think that we are and to believe that we are in our hearts.
Choosing to be a born again, son of God, daughter of God, required repentance. And repentance means? Change of mind. Yep. Yes, you will get this. So that's what, but then once again, choosing to become a disciple once again requires repentance, changing our mind. And that's what continual, you know, life is going to be, continually changing our mind. That's, we talked a lot about this on Thursday night in our discussion there, and talking about dying to self, you know, because in all the negative connotations that dying to self means, you know, has meant to, I know at least me and some of the people that were in the group were mentioning things. So I want to read just, you know, a couple paragraphs out of the book that we're using, because it just helps to give us more the right connotation of what dying to self is about. He says, here you see the person who believes they have the life of God in them. They're not trying to become what God wants them to be. They are yielding to a power already in them, activated by belief and awareness. Because they're spiritually minded, their life is regulated by this internal life. This power, which the Bible calls grace, is what gives the believer the ability to effortlessly align his external life with his internal life. And that's the key right there. It's not about works. It's not about what I have to do on the outside to get Jesus to flow through me like he wants to. It's internal. It should be effortless. Says the reason this is a quantum leap is because this is not something that happens by the release of strong will or massive force. It's not about how self-disciplined I am, how much effort I put into it, that this is, you know, that I die to self. It's by simply changing the focus of your attention and then simply yielding to the righteousness that is already in you by the Lord Jesus. You know, I am righteous. You are righteous. It's renewing our minds into the recognition. This is who I am. I don't have to become anything. You know, I don't have to become somebody different than who I am. This is who I am. Do I have contrary thoughts to what the Word of God? Yes. Yes. Do I do things contrary to what the Word of God says? Yes. Do I say things contrary to what the Word of God says? Yes. But as I focus on who I am inside, those words, those actions, those thoughts are just going to start effortlessly changing.
Yep.
You know, Jess and I were talking the other night about, you know, things just change. I'm different. I look at life different. I feel different. With all the stressful things that I've been going through in the past 6 months, generally I'm just floating along with them. And it's just totally different. I mean, I used to be a very, we won't even go there. But anyhow, it's just changing my focus. It's just renewing my mind. It's just recognizing this is who I am. I am the righteousness of God. Christ in me. I'm in him. He's in me. I live in peace. I live in joy. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy most of the time. And I went for many, many years that I was not happy. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually happy most of the time. Except once in a while, Wayne will say she's not too happy. But for the most part.
There's a teller at the bank who's alive.
I was relatively nice. I said, yes. I have made enough progress to speak things out where other times I would not. But I have not made enough progress where I always do it graciously. We'll just leave it at that. Yes.
Praise God. You know, I was just thinking, if you wonder whether you're growing or not, and shouldn't we be growing? Isn't anything that's living growing? One of the ways to check it would be how much repenting am I doing?
Yeah.
When you really understand that all repenting is just changing your mind. If you're not facing something and recognizing, well, I'm not thinking like that, and then having to change your mind about it, then you're probably not growing, because we need to be. We almost could finish every day and say, "Have I repented today?" Because that's where the growth process is, in changing our mind, in repenting.
And one thing we were talking about Thursday night is repentance is not necessarily a spiritual word. You know, what the example that was given in the book is, you know, you go to school and your teacher tells you 2 and 2 is, you think 2 and 2 is 5, and your teacher tells you 2 and 2 is 4. Well, to make any progress, you have to repent. you have to change your mind and agree that no, 2 and 2 equals 4. And so that's what life is about. We're continually changing our mind. We're continually repenting. Just as what are we doing? Are we doing changing our mind to line up with the Word of God, or are we doing it to line up with the world system? But we're all, our lives are all about repenting. It's not this big spiritual, you know, I've got to feel bad and all the things that we religiously we think repentance is about. No, it's just, am I choosing, am I going to change my mind and say, no, God's right, I'm wrong? Or am I going to say, no, I'm right, God's wrong? You know, it's our continual choices that we're going to make.
Yep. Because what we found out is the fool.
Yes.
Read the book of Proverbs. The fool is the one who says, I have this opinion and you're not changing it.
Yep.
I don't care what you present to me, what proof you have, whether you're God or not, I've got my opinion and I'm sticking with it. Well, that's going to hurt, and it's not a good decision.
Okay, so that's it for growing disciples. We're moving on to, okay, growing disciples to build the kingdom. And so our classic scripture which we use is Matthew 6, verse 33, which is, once again, bringing something from the old into the new. Says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek the kingdom of God. Yeah, the way of God, you know, the way God says life is supposed to be. The way that God designed life to be. That is the life that we're supposed to be experiencing. If you question on what that life is supposed to be like, we'll go back to the Garden of Eden. As life was in the Garden of Eden, that is the life God desires for you. Now, not necessarily walking around naked, eating fruit off the tree, but you understand the principle that God designed us to desire pleasure, to live in a pleasurable environment. That is God's perfect will for every one of us that are his children. But we have dropped so far below that because of all our religious, traditional thinking that we don't even consider that that's what God wants for me. But if you go back, if you study out and see who God is and how he started the whole thing, it's not when we get to heaven that it's supposed to be that way. No, we're supposed to be a representation of God here on earth. And for us to represent God here on earth, if our life is just miserable and how bad we have it and just how, just blah, 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 how in the world is the world going to see that this is God? This is a good God. God is good and only good. God is love. God is mercy. God is grace. God is compassion. God is peace. God is joy. If we are not demonstrating that to the world around us, how in the world do we expect them to see it? It's not just, well, you know, my life is miserable, but you need to come to Jesus. You know, everything goes wrong in my life, but you need to come to Jesus,
pretty
you know?
Sure.
Or, you know, it's just, well, we're just hanging on to, you know, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. Praise God, Jesus is coming, but we're living here and now. And people are going to hell every day, and we're here and now. And it's God's will that all men come to repentance. And I don't care what the world is like now, because the world was bad, you know, 1,000 years ago. The world was bad when Jesus was here. The world isn't any worse now than it was back then. And yet they were still testimonies for Jesus Christ. They still demonstrated the goodness of God. They still walked in signs and wonders and miracles. That's what God has called us to be and do.
Amen.
But we have to change our heart beliefs. It's not that, okay, I've got to go pray 4 hours, you know, okay, so I've got to, you know, I've got to, oh, I can't say that, you know, I've got to do, you know, it's not about doing, it's about being who I am. And that talks about what we talked about, is a shift on the inside, is focusing on the inside. It's spending time with God, focusing on him. You know, we're going to be doing praise and worship in a little bit. The whole purpose of praise and worship is to focus on God. It's not whether you like the songs or not. It's not whether you like the music or not. It's not whether you can sing it or not. It's about focusing on God. If your way to focus on God is just sit there and just close yourself in, well, then do it. You know, literally, if you don't like the music and you have to put earplugs in to focus on God, well, then do it. But focus on God. Your life is not going to be changed if you don't spend any time focusing on God. And if you can't do it here, there's no way that I think that you're doing it out there.
Praise Jesus.
Because I know if you're doing it out there, then you will be able to do it in here.
Praise Jesus.
You know, it doesn't matter to me how praise and worship goes anymore. Because my focus is on God. It's me and God. You know, whether I'm loud, whether I'm quiet, no matter what anybody else has done, because I'm learning how to do that. Because I know that's how my life was changed, by spending time just me and God. Not doing a lot of praying, but just in his presence, meditating on him. It's that easy. It takes effort, but it's easy to change our lives and line up with Him. Praise God.
You should preach. If you think about it, there's been a progression. Now, Dr. Lemon came along and began to tell us, don't think just church, think kingdom.
Right.
And kingdom is bigger than church, and kingdom is a realm that I think we're just beginning to understand. Look at Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees, when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, remember what they were looking for is a kingdom set up on this earth with a king, and the king's going to come and beat up all the armies around them, and they're going to have a big castle and moat around it and keep everybody else out, I suppose, and all those kind of things. They asked him when the kingdom would come. He answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. They're not going to see it with the natural eye, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. Now here's a quote from the book we've been reading. The kingdom does not exist in time. It has no beginning or end. It exists in a realm. In that realm, the power and resources of God are fully available. In that realm, all the promises are realized. In that realm, Jesus rules as Lord and King. It's a place in the spirit. It's a realm that's in us and follows us around. Wherever we go as children of God, there's the kingdom. And all the resources of God are there. Now, we might say, well, I've been living as a Christian for a long time and I haven't seen any of that, but that's because we have to change how we think. We have to change our hearts. And when we do that, we carry the kingdom with us and we'll begin to see kingdom results.
See the kingdom results on a consistent basis, we need to be disciples. Just to be, you know, Joe Christian and just doing my thing, you're not going to be experiencing the blessings of the kingdom. It's just not going to happen. It's not how God designed it. But as we're disciples, you know, what we're talking about this morning is God is first in our life and we're working on a relationship with Him. As we're disciples, then we're going to start experiencing more of the blessings of the kingdom. Once again, referring to the book, the thing we like about James Richards is he just explains things so simply that why we keep referring to his stuff. But this is how he gives the definition of the kingdom. He says, God's kingdom is not something that will come in the future. It's something that exists now. There will be an appointed time in history where the kingdom will completely consume and overcome the world system. At this moment, however, it's only found in our inner man. It's only seen in the world to the degree that we express it in the way we treat people, make decisions, and interact with the outer world. Because the Pharisees of Jesus' day had our same faulty paradigm of time. They looked for an event, a starting place, marked in time when God's kingdom would finally come. They were looking for a salvation that was external, which fit into our finite paradigm of existence. What God was and still is offering, however, is a salvation and deliverance that is first and foremost internal. And that's why I know for me personally, got frustrated and gotten the condition that I was in was because it just was not a conscious thing. I believe it was a heart belief. The things that I hadn't dealt with just became to take over my life and run my life. And it became more a works mentality. It was about doing stuff than it was about being who God had called me to be. And it's been a progression with me. It'll be a progression with every one of us. Every one of us will be dealing with things differently because God knows each of us individually, and He will deal with things individually. But it is a progression, but it has to start from the inside. It's not an external, look how wonderful I am on the outside. It's God is changing me on the inside. The outside is just going to automatically change, and everything that changes on the outside is just going to be good.
You think about that. That means if you are sitting there one afternoon and you think, I wonder how so-and-so is doing. I think I'm going to give him a call and just encourage him. What's that? It's the kingdom in operation. And yet on the other side, you know, when we're driving down the road and somebody pulls out in front of us and we do whatever we do from there, we won't go into the details. You know, there's a kingdom still in us, but it's not being shown on the outside or not really being a witness of it. And the idea with building the kingdom, obviously, if the kingdom is only going where we are, then we need to build people. We need to build ourselves. We need not to become something we aren't, but understand who we are, and it's a building process. Look at some scriptures here. 1 Peter chapter 2. Man, this is good news. I'm telling you.
Amen.
I love some of the words, like, you know, it's not going to be hard. It doesn't have to be hard all the time. Shouldn't be laborious all the time. When you really get into this, you could just should be able to just walk through life and enjoy it.
Amen.
1 Peter 2, verse 4 and 5. Coming to him as living, as a living stone. Excuse me. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also are living stones, being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer a spiritual sacrifice. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, being built up as a house. And so there's an individual thing that needs to be happening. There's also a corporate thing that needs to be happening in this house, but not only just this house, but in the Christians in our areas. We come together, serve God together. There's a force available that happens with numbers. You know, you could say, well, it's not really about numbers. We pastors like a kid and say, well, there's a book of the Bible called Numbers, so God must be important to God. But it's about when there are more of us, then there's more clout, there's more force available to make it actually difference in the society around us. And so that becomes important. But each one of us, if you have lots of people and they're not built up, then you really only have a limited kind of thing. But you have a group of people that are really understanding what the kingdom is. And one of the things that does is give us the availability to work together. Because when you're not kingdom people, you can't work together for very long.
That's right.
Start getting upset with each other. Then you can grow together. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19. Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're already part of King David, Moses. People have gone on before us and part of the ones that are still here. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, thank God for what was built through the original 11 and Paul and James and the ones after that. And thank God for Dr. Lemon and apostles and prophets of today that are bringing forth the word of God, have been sent by God to minister to us and through us. Having been built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. For a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. I think sometimes we can see that when we're having a great service and we can feel it, and the Spirit of God's moving in this place, and people are laid out on the floor and all those great things are happening. But really, wherever we go, there's the kingdom of God, and we should be coming to this place where we're a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We're going to come there.
Praise God. So just to review, who are we? We're Believers Church at Glenville, a Word and Spirit Church. Why are we here? Growing disciples to build the kingdom. What is our destination? Let me put it that way. Our destination is to become a local expression of the body of Christ, influencing society by demonstrating life as God designed. And how are we going to do it? This is the part that we're going to be focusing on over the next who knows how long, because how are we going to do it? And this, we are going to use some very simple terminology so all of you can get a hold of it and get it ingrained in you. And how very simply is love God, love people, serve others. And that's how we're going to accomplish what we're called to accomplish.
Yeah. One more scripture. Consider this. Mark chapter 12, verse 29. This particular thing is three times in the Gospels. It's in Matthew, in Mark, and also in Luke. Mark 12, verse 29. Jesus answered. He was asked, what's the most important commandment? He answered and said, the first of all commandments is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. In Luke's gospel, he was asked, who's your neighbor? And he gave the story of the Good Samaritan. So our neighbor becomes anybody that needs our help, that needs to be served. So there we have, love God, love people, serve others.
So first of all, what we're going to be focusing on first over the next few months is the love God part, or another way of looking at this is the up, the in, the out. So the first, we focus on the up, and we've done a lot of that over 35 years. That has been our major focus. That's why, if you've been here very long, that's how, why you know so much scripture. You may not know it, be able to quote it, but you know it's when you hear it, you say, yeah, I've heard that before. You've heard the word taught for 35 years here. And so we've done a lot of that, and we will continue to do that. Now, you know that we, in the last year or so, with focusing, adjusting our focus on the heart and understanding the heart and having more revelation on what faith is and grace and you know, so there'll be more information brought that will, I believe, will be new to some of you. It'll be reestablishing over and over again. But that's a lot of what our Sunday morning will be about, is bringing you information on developing your relationship with God. Like we said before, what's praise and worship about? Why do we do praise and worship when we come together? It's about developing your relationship with God, about focusing on God, on about loving God. So that'll be the first thing, because that's where we have to start. And then the next thing is about the loving people. Am I doing this part?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. The next part will be loving people, and that's what we're starting, you know, to develop the system to have these all things come in operation. But you know, it will be like right now: love God, love people, serving others. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. I think for the most part, everybody here would know how to apply that to their lives. But as we get more revelation, and one of the things we'll be doing is we'll be having brainstorming sessions and making available anybody that's interested to come and help us develop the system, because Wayne and I did not plan on developing the whole system on being able to accomplish everything that we know that God has called us to accomplish. But it's going to take time to develop the system on getting people from, you know, walking in here Sunday morning the first time until getting them to the final loving others. You know, that's a progress. You know, I may come in Sunday morning and I may have a little understanding of loving God and loving people and serving others, but as we develop it, you know, I think you understand, as we mature, you know, we're going to have more understanding, we're going to accomplish more of the whole thing. So loving people, first of all, one of the things that's going to be involving is us here, you know, learning to love each other, and how we're going to be able to walk in loving each other, once again, comes back to understanding the heart and changing our heart beliefs. And as we change our heart beliefs, you know, I may be, you may drive me up a wall today, but as my heart beliefs change, I know from experience that I'm going to be able to work with you in the future. Because as I change, as God changes, you know, I line up with God, then loving you is just going to be part of who I am. I'm not going to have to choose to be nice when I come into church Sunday morning. You know, I'm not going to have to choose to be nice when I get together with church people. It's just going to be automatic. Will we still have frustrations with each other? I guarantee it. But at least hopefully we're going to get past the part where just because somebody didn't do what I thought they should do, that I'm not going to take offense on. I'm not going to be offended. You know, and I'm just out of here. You know, these people, there's no love in this church and all the stuff we've heard in the past. Hopefully our goal is to grow past that and be able to walk in love towards each other, first of all, so that we can move on to the next step. If we don't ever get past the being able to walk in love towards each other, forget reaching out, serving others, forget getting outside of here, you know. We may go on a mission trip and have a spiritual high, but to have anything long-lasting until we change us here, it's not going to happen. It has to begin here. So as part of, you know, loving people, loving each other, it's about relationships. So we're going to have to work on relationships, you know, and some of you are thinking, no, we're going to have to work on relationships, whether we like it or not. Now, it's going to be different for each one of us because we're all different kind of people, but we have to make that decision. I'm a disciple, so I work on relationships. You know, as God changes me, it will become easier, but I choose to do it. I will repent, and I will choose to do it because God said to do it, not whether I like to or not. So also, what does that involve? Family relationships. You know, and as you know, marriages, parenting, you know, all those are involved in that, and that would be our next step is focusing. So that's the next step that we're going to be focusing on beginning in the fall. And how that all is all going to happen, we don't know yet. You know, we're taking this one step at a time. And then the final one is serving others. Serving others, not just, that's the out part. But once again, it has to start here. If we don't know how to serve others here, then, you know, you may be hit and miss out there, or you may have a natural gifting for serving others out there. But for us to be living our life, you know, you serve others right now. You know, on the job, you serve your boss, whether you like him or not. And if you don't, it's learning to change our focus and you know, he's just a lousy boss. But no, I'm serving God by doing my job. I'm the best employee possible because it's not about my boss. It's not about who I work with. It's about serving God. And as I am changed on the inside, it's going to be easy. And then when it gets easy, I'm going to be a better employee. And when my boss sees what a better employee I am, he's going to say, whoa, what is it about you? Mm-hmm. And then what's going to happen? I'm going to have a chance to speak my witness, not just live my witness.
Amen.
See, God has a plan. We just have to line up with his plan. So, Anything else you want to add?
No. I just want to say where we're going to go in the month of August, we feel like we need to focus on gifts and temperaments again and add to hopefully some things we've learned in the process. But each one of you sit here with a destiny from God. God has predestined you to be some things and gifted you to be those things. So we need to find out each individually what that is. We're finding out as a church where we're going, but we need to know individually where we're going, who we're called to be, how God has gifted us to get there, and there are ways to do that. I mean, it's important to be doing something because that's how you find out, but your temperaments are different than other people around you. Your gifts are different than other people around you, and that's good, praise God. It'd be boring if we were all exactly the same. Amen? So we're going to talk about those things next.
And it's one of those things we're going back to the foundation. You know, whether you agree with temperaments or not, you know, over the years, it's proven that they're true. And so we're going to start with that because if you don't know who you are, you know, if you don't know how to get along with people, you know what your temperament is, you will know what other people's temperaments are. That's one of the things that's going to help you with that. It's going to help you decide, you know, if this is the right job. It's going to help you decide, you know, if this what the right ministry team position is. Because our desire is, you know, everybody will be on a ministry team. If you are belonging to Believers Fellowship Center, if you're going to be a member of this congregation, you will be on the ministry team somewhere. But we'll, you know, that's something we'll get into in the future. But our desire is to have you be in a position where your passion is, where your heart is, where your gifting is. Because then when you get frustrated, you can work through the frustration because this is in my heart to do this. You know, I can still walk in love because this is in my heart. And even though other people don't understand me, no, this is what my heart is. And so if anybody has ever, you know, you're living your passion or you're going after your passion, you know, it doesn't matter what happens. You know, you just keep going after that passion. And so that's our desire is to get, you know, and many people in the congregation to be able to know that and to be able to fulfill their destiny because that's our desire, to have everybody here fulfill what God has called them to do.
So our number one commandment is love the Lord your God.
Amen.
So we have an opportunity to do that right now, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. And all it's going to take is just concentrating on him as we sing to him and worship him. So let's do it.